Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. And now let us pray. Our Father, we pray for thy divine anointing to be on this declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are coming to a section in the 11th chapter of John, which are called the dividing of the minds or the dividing of the ways. And so I shall read to you from John 11:45 following. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Dear ones, this is a scripture that follows immediately the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. So I want to mention to you that the resurrection of Lazarus became the final straw that for the Pharisees broke the camel's back. From now on, the plot to kill Jesus was highly accelerated, and all the questionings and examinations were over. And so we read in verse 53, "Then from that day they took counsel together for to put him to death." From this point on, John, the Gospel writer, gives us the line of events that occurred from the resurrection of Lazarus to the crucifixion of Jesus in more detail than we find it in the other Gospels. Let us consider three points in particular. The first one is here in this passage, and I call it the fork in the road. As I read to you from this point on, many of the Jews believed in Jesus and others went to the Pharisees. The Pharisaical loyalists went to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So we have division becoming very open, apparent, and clear-cut. The question I want to bring before you now is, where in the Gospel of John do we see the first seed of division? When you have trouble in the church, division in the church, a church split, there's normally quite a bit of background that led up to this violent public dissension. Before division is revealed, before it's opened, it generally is hidden for some time. It is generally preceded by some pretense of cooperation and unity, while below the surface things have been boiling for a long time. Let us go to the first sign of trouble, of division, in the Gospel of John. Let us find the first dark cloud that eventually brought this great open division amongst the Jewish people here in the 11th chapter of John. And for that we go to the first chapter. There we have the prelude to Jesus' ministry, which is the ministry of John the Baptist. While John was baptizing with a baptism of repentance at the River Jordan, it says that the Pharisees sent out representatives in order to question John as to who he was, whether he was the Christ, whether he was Elijah, or whether he was perhaps Jeremiah. And John's response was, "None of the above. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." If you study the other Gospels on this particular passage, and you put it all together, you come to this conclusion. The common people immediately came to John to repent of their sins, and while they were doing that, the Pharisees sat at home in their offices trying to figure out who John was. The Pharisees never made it to the River Jordan to be baptized with a baptism of repentance. Yes, the Pharisees never repented. Keep in mind that the ministry of John the Baptist was a preparation ministry for Jesus. And the Pharisees, from the very beginning, never got into it because they never repented at the very beginning for that preparation of the coming of Jesus. They always tried to figure out what was going on and what was going on particularly outside of their hearts. The common people did not really care who John the Baptist was at first, whether he was the Christ or whether he was Elijah or Jeremiah. They knew that he was a man of God and that God sent him, and that was good enough for them. They felt their great need was that they were sinners. They knew they were sinners. And there was a man of God preaching repentance, and they were running in order to repent of their sins and to get right with God. Now, how do you think history would have turned out if the Pharisees would have likewise run to the Jordan to repent of their sins? When Jesus calls us, my dear friend, to the altar of repentance, we better go there, and we better go there quickly, or eventually we're going to find ourselves on the wrong side of the road. We're going to crucify the very things that God is in. The Pharisees, my friend, didn't go to the altar of repentance because they thought they were good and righteous. They refused the searchlight of the Holy Spirit to come upon their hearts. They looked upon themselves as wonderful spiritual leaders, and they looked nice on the outside, and they spake the religious language quite well. Their prayers were impressive, and so was their giving. But I want you to know how Jesus felt about the Pharisees' hearts. It happens to be that Jesus pulled back the veil from off their hearts and gave them his peace of mind on this matter in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, where he says to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Well, all that was within these Pharisees, hidden within their hearts, that prevented them from running to John the Baptist back there in John chapter 1. My friend, I want to say it again here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. We're now in the 11th chapter. We have the first altar call God ever gave in the history of the New Testament. And the Pharisees missed it. Their stubbornness, their wickedness, the hidden hypocrisy, my friend, is something, all these things were something they didn't want to let go of. And so they stayed in their offices trying to figure out who John the Baptist was. And this refusal to go to the altar of repentance by the Pharisees eventually made them murderers of the Son of God. I say to you, dear ones, whenever the Holy Spirit calls you to the altar, don't you hesitate, but break through whatever is within you, that stubbornness and pride, and come to the altar. Come to God and keep your heart tender so you'll never forsake the Lord Jesus. And so you'll never crucify that which God is in, so you'll never rise up against any man of God, however weak he may be. So the first point is the fork in the road, how division starts. It always starts with some people being unwilling to repent. The second point I like to make is when we cease to come to the altar, when we allow pride to prevent us, eventually we come to such blindness of spirit that we no longer can see the wonderful workings of God in His church and amongst His people. Getting back now to John 11:47, it says, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. All the miracles that Jesus did nothing to make these leaders followers. The healing of the lepers didn't do it. The healing of the paralytic who could never walk before didn't do it. The healing of the blind who never saw didn't do it. Jesus changing water into wine didn't do it. Jesus stilling the storm didn't do it. Jesus walking on the sea didn't do it. And the raising of the dead didn't do it. All these things did nothing to make the Pharisees followers of our Lord. The tragedy is they came to the point to where neither could they receive him as the Christ, nor as a prophet, nor as a man of God, nor even as a good man. My friends, how blind can we possibly get when we have a heart that is no longer penitent, that can no longer move us to the altar of God at the call of the precious Holy Spirit? Of course, Jesus could have done a greater miracle yet, that greater than the ones he'd done before, but the thing about it is that Jesus never over miracles. I know that word over miracle is not in the dictionary, but it ought to be in there, shouldn't it? So Jesus could have called 10,000 angels with drawn swords to have all these Pharisees on their knees, but if he had done that, they would only have gone to their knees out of fear and not to repent. They would have continued to have hated Jesus as soon as the event was over. Jesus does not want us to be robots. He's not a driver, but he is a drawer. He will be a driver on the last day when all mankind will be driven to the judgment seat of Christ. But until that time, it is drawing time, not driving time. Jesus wants only those who are willing to respond to his drawing love call to come to him. The next thing I want to bring to your attention is what the Pharisees were afraid of. They said, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. The Pharisees were very much concerned about their place. They were always concerned about their place and their nation. I was reading a detailed account of the defense of Caiaphas, the high priest here, as to why he decided to condemn Jesus. And one of the main things is that he wanted Jesus to cooperate with the institution, with the temple institution, with the priesthood. He wanted Jesus to bless the Pharisees. And Jesus, on the opposite, he prophesied the destruction of the temple. He upbraided the Pharisees. He was against the whole institutional system because none of that was glorifying God. None of that was pleasing to him. So actually, the Pharisees were looking towards losing their jobs and losing their ministries. They did not want the whole world to go after Jesus. They wanted the whole world to go after them. Well, institutions have always been hard on the true followers of God. So let me summarize today's message. When you see open division, there's always a hidden prelude. And at the bottom of this prelude, there always is this fact, that there were people who, when God called them to the altar of repentance, refused to go. And so their hearts became harder and harder. They became more and more blind in their spiritual perception. And eventually, they rise up against the spiritual progress of the church and they cause division. And they become crucifiers of the things of God. Dear ones, don't let this happen to you. Whenever the Holy Spirit draws you to the altar of repentance, go, for your eternal destiny depends upon it. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now, until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.